From GEICO Subconscious News, I'm Tammy Racing Thoughts. Tonight, you just left for work and had a non-specific feeling that something was happening to your place and it wasn't good. Dan?
Exactly, Tammy. It could be smoke damage, theft, or just too much caffeine, but you can't stop thinking about it.
But with renter's insurance through GEICO, your stuff is covered, so you don't have to worry.
And that's great, because the weekend is coming up and it's chock full of social obligations that are ready to fill that void.
Oh boy, will they, Dan? It feels good to worry less. It feels good to GEICO.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Time for four questions, where we look back over the weekend and forward to the week ahead. The four questions are: what delighted you over the weekend? What annoyed you over the weekend? What did you learn? And what are you looking forward to? The people here to answer them are Donal O'Donoghue and Maya Dunphy. Good afternoon to you both.
Good afternoon, John.
So what delighted you over the weekend, Donal, was that you got all nostalgic and sniffy and looked back at the past?
I did. I was feeling nostalgic and I had this kind of trip down memory lane. So I started researching my old school, my old national school. So I went to the Harold Boys National School in Glasthoole and I was there in the 80s. And for some reason, I started Googling and researching and I stumbled upon a photo album that contains 2,100 photos of what life was like back in our school during the 70s, 80s and 90s. So these were photos that were taken by the vice principal, who's no longer with us, Brendan Halpin. But then they were scanned and uploaded by the former principal, John Maguire. So these aren't like your school, you know, posed school photos. They're photos from all those moments that like memory has long forgotten. The school plays, the sports days, shots from the classroom. So it was incredible. So I stuck it up on the social media during the week. It's had 100,000 views. Lots of people have got in touch and have found this kind of photo album. So it's been incredible.
Yeah. And these were more like kind of ordinary day-to-day shots rather than, you know, people gurning at the camera.
That's exactly. So special, though, because they would have been lost forever if someone didn't scan them in.
That's what the delightful part is. You would imagine that, you know, there's a box of photos sitting in someone's attic somewhere. So what really delighted me is the care and thought that went into preserving them. So I have to give a shout out to Mr. Maguire. I'll call him Mr. Maguire because he was a great principal and he made sure that we were very focused on learning, on sport and on music. And, you know, it made me think, oh, we really got a good start life in, you know, as school was back in the 80s. But yeah, it's that, because you think about it now, we take so many photos on our phones, but I've probably two or three photos from my school days. So to find these and to see photos of all your old pals was unbelievable.
Well, and you couldn't put up photos from school now anyway.
Well, with child protection,
it'd be totally
I feel
dodgy.
Like one photo from your school days is worth almost 200 now, isn't it? Because they're so rare.
Absolutely. And then it's all the stuff you forget. Like I got a comment on social media from an old school pal who said, oh, wow, I was there the day you got knocked off your BMX outside the school. I'd completely forgotten I got knocked off my BMX outside the school. And that was the guy that stayed with me until the ambulance came.
Were you badly hurt?
I got the side of my face ripped off. When I was about 10 or 11.
Ouch. Ooh. By a car.
By a car, yeah. So I was cycling my new BMX to school and I turned out and the car just came around the bend just at the school there and knocked me off. But I'm okay now.
Oh,
okay, no,
it's
I mean...
It's been 40 years.
I'm sure you're over. Well, hopefully you are over it now.
Must be an 80s thing. Happened to me as well, not outside your school. Now, I knocked myself off my bike, but I broke my nose, my jaw, dislocated my palate and fractured my lower jaw.
Jesus.
Yeah.
And of course,
80s, we did things well in the 80s.
And,
didn't do bike accidents by halves.
No helmets or anything like
no.
that. Yeah, so different days.
Wear helmets, kids.
Maya, did you have to get surgery if you broke all those things in your face?
Well, my palate was reset. The jaw was... I'm not trying to top trump your story. Sorry, Tom. Yeah. My jaw was wired. My nose was never fixed. My nose is a bit crooked. And I do have teeth like a bag of broken Scrabble tiles, which is not great for telly. But I can't get my teeth whitened. I can't get them straightened because they're mostly held in by scar tissue.
Wow.
Crikey.
I know.
And what kind of treatment did you have to get for the face, Donald?
A bit of pseudocreme and some flat...
Oh, there you go. Right. Okay, that one. somebody said to me the other day, what did the 80s smell like?
Wow.
Germaline.
Which is an interesting question, but because, you know, people were smoking indoors and And yeah. I know, yeah.
I remember that after the smoking ban came in and you realised what pubs and nightclubs actually smelt like, you know, because when there was smoking, it smelt like smoke. Mm. Yeah. Then when the smoking ban happened, then they just smelt like
beer stains and dirty toilets.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although apparently some pubs, a couple of years after the ban, did say we did have to industrially clean carpets and clean toilets better for that very reason. So there you go.
Yeah, and you realise now the ceilings were yellow for a particular reason. That wasn't a design choice there at all. And so, fair weather football fan,
you
looked at the final.
I did. Well,
Had you looked at any other bits of it?
A couple of bits, but I have very little interest in the World Cup. And I know I said that before. My delight this weekend was not as personal as yours, unfortunately, Donald. But I did fair weather football and I watched the final. I'm also half Spanish, so I had to cheer on my paisanos. But it was mainly the joy of having to see Trump hand over the World Cup to the Spanish. I mean, did we not all love that? After his rant at the UN summit in July about cut the Spanish off, no more visits, no more trade, and there he was handing over the trophy to them. Absolute joy to watch.
He did look particularly miserable having to hand it over. And did you notice the way he kept his hands on it all the way up to the presentation and then wouldn't really get off the stage?
Yeah, he was trying to get, you know, involved in all
even
that.
Even Infantino, who's not a great fellow, the best of times. Thank you, Sean. Trying to move him away because it's not the done thing. Let the team have their moment. But no, Trump had to stay there. But it, you know, it would have absolutely killed him to hand that trophy over to the Spanish. So, hooray.
Yeah, I wonder, can he even remember he made that speech about the Spanish? You know, because his list of people he hates is so long now, it's difficult for him to keep up.
Especially try and overturn the win, you know.
It was a very boring game. It must
well,
be said.
Even with my limited knowledge of football, I could see that like the Argentinians didn't cover themselves in glory at all, and it wasn't great to watch.
Like one shot at goal in the whole game or something
No. Yeah. What did you think of the halftime thing?
That was awful. And it was
cringe.
It summed up Trump's America. They tried to shove every single thing in. It was completely incongruous. Not great. The Muppets were the best bit. And I mean
the actual Muppets.
Just the
nostalgia of seeing Animal banging out a few tunes on the drums.
If they had just had 6 minutes of Muppets, that would have been it.
Happy days.
Of 11 minutes of all the Muppets, yeah.
Yeah, the ironic thing was that, like, you know, the Muppets were miming, but then it turned out all the humans were miming as well.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, clearly.
Actually, the Muppets are not miming.
Were they not? Were they actually playing their own instruments?
They're fully mic'd. Listen, in defence of puppets all over the world here, they perform.
Okay, all right.
Stunts.
Well, then they were the only ones who weren't miming then.
See, we forgot that Aya is a puppet advocate.
Yeah.
So.
Right, so you were annoyed by... Well, I mean, scams have become kind of thing that's a normal part of life now, unfortunately.
I was more annoyed at how sophisticated they're becoming. Because, you know, there's all the different types of scams. So we had somebody attempt a phishing scam, which is the email one in work. And they're getting pretty sophisticated. They're getting pretty good at figuring when the boss isn't in and sending an email to say, hey, can you do me a favor? It's confidential. Don't say it to anyone else in the team. But I'd like you to pop out and buy some gift cards. I want to give a bonus to the team, for example. And only that staff are switched on and trained enough to check and double check and send a WhatsApp or put in a call to see, is this genuine? A lot of people do get caught with it. But then it made me think about all the different types of scams. So that's phishing. But then you got smishing, which is the text one, the SMS one. So smishing is like, hey, good news, you've got a tax refund due or something like that. A very easy one for people to fall for. Then you got vishing, which is the voice one. So that can either be the scam calls you get or, you know, the automated voice. And then the worst one that my mother-in-law almost fell for is the safe account scam. Have you heard of that one? Where the scammer phones you up and says, hey, have you just done an online transaction for 700 euros? And you go, no. They go, okay, well, look, this is your bank. We've caught it. We need to secure your account. And it's like the double jeopardy thing where they get you at your most vulnerable when you think, whoo, I'm safe. I haven't been caught. So, yeah, that's what
very
really annoyed me. They're getting
really
slick.
And now with the new customs laws from the UK, there's going to be a whole new wave of, you know, you owe €2-3 for this parcel. It would be very convincing, but, oh, it's so enraging. And the deepfake videos now are getting better, where they have a Zoom call from ostensibly a CEO or MD, and it looks perfect, saying, you know, don't forget to send in the details for this, or, like you say, scratch card details or bank details. And it'd be very easy to be caught out.
Or the other one that I think is a really tricky one is the one where you get a text from a number you don't recognise and it says, Dad, I've lost my phone.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is my new phone number.
It could, yeah.
And
yeah.
I've just got to the stage where I respond, I go, who's this? And I'm, which of the many children could it be?
Oh, I kept one of those going for a long time and it became increasingly more unhinged when I said, oh, you know, this is the day I go stealing jocks off washing lines and I'm only just back. So it was a sunny day. Yeah. The guy kept going and going and going and going. Until he eventually agreed to come to a barbecue with a deer that I'd hit by a car with a car that weekend. So nice. Then eventually he blocked me.
Oh, it God, was, that was mean.
It was a slow day. It was a slow day.
I love the guy that does the stuff where he basically, he's hacked into the scammers, scam centres, where he takes control of their videos and he knows who they are and he can see them. And have you seen that guy?
Yes.
He's brilliant.
Yes.
He kind of double jeopardies the scammers.
Yeah. But where are the scammers located?
Yeah, they can be anywhere. A lot seem to be in the Far East, don't they?
Yeah. This is not to justify it, but a lot of them are kind of very poor people or they've been kind of blackmailed into doing this kind of work as well.
There's an element of trafficking sometimes as well. And so I know we do. Yeah. I mean, we have to have empathy for people, but also I think the way I think things are now, especially with mother-in-laws or older people or grandparents, is to say, always assume it's a scam.
Yeah.
Check.
Yeah.
It used to be so easy to spot, you know, when you'd get that long lost prince, you know, that wanted to leave there.
You'd miss the old prince in Nigeria, wouldn't you?
Yeah. That was innocent days.
They wanted to just launder that inheritance through your bank account. They were the good old days of scamming.
I know if one of your kids actually does lose their phone, like, God love them. They're never going to get any. They go, yeah, sure you did. Yeah. Right, so you were annoyed by Emerald Park. How could you be annoyed by Emerald Park?
I'm being deliberately contradictory to get in another delight about Emerald Park. We went to Emerald Park for my son's birthday yesterday. Had such a lovely time. And I think because of the hurling, the queues were shorter than normal. People didn't go out. A sunny summer Sunday, you'd expect it to be the busiest day of the year. It was relatively quiet. We got onto all the roller coasters more than once. And that was what annoyed me, that I realised that one thing about midlife, I think I'm pretty healthy for my age. I hate those three words, for my age or for your age. But we did the Cú Chulainn roller coaster twice in rapid succession. And I could barely stand up after. So what's annoying me is not Emerald Park, is my midlife reaction to roller coasters, the ultimate first world problem.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything bad about that at all. Does the dryer work there now?
Oh, the...
Because there's supposed to be... and I don't know if
the big body dryer.
Yeah.
It does, yes.
Because you get... Oh, right. Yeah. When I was there, it didn't work.
When you go through the...
Because you get absolutely drenched when you go
amazing.
Through it.
The Viking log flume. I won't give it away because there's a couple of surprises on that ride. But we got absolutely saturated. But it was 26 degrees, so we didn't use it. We just walked around.
Yeah.
And actually, fun fact, the year before Emerald Park, and it was Tato Park, yours truly, I was tasked with writing all the signs for the park and naming the rides.
Wow, what a random gig to get.
I know. I'd written the Mr. Tato autobiography. So the late, great Ray Coyle, who was the CEO, said, "Oi, Dunphy, you're basically Mr. Tato's voice now. So come down and write the signs for us and name the rides." There's only one that still exists, Pow Wow Playground. There was a weird Native American theme. It's along. Ray had bought some totem poles and teepees. Because it was a hunky-dory element and then all that fell by the wayside. But he'd already bought these Native American things. And the funny thing is the joke we always made, there's a cemetery right in the middle of Emerald Park, Kilbrew Cemetery. They built it around the cemetery. So we used to joke saying, you know, it's like the opposite of Native American burial grounds. They built a Native American theme park on an Irish burial ground. So yeah, you can still get access to the cemetery. If you have, I don't think it's used anymore. People have parents and grandparents buried there. So if you're in Emerald Park, there's a little tiny round tower you can see in the middle, and that's not part of the park. That's Kilbrew Cemetery.
But if you have relations there, you want to lay flowers on or anything like that,
just throw them off.
Do you have to go through Emerald Park to get there?
There's a separate way in for you, and then you hear woo. Yeah. On the log flume ride. So,
that's
a joyful place to be buried.
Every day is a learning day.
If they're still selling plots, I might buy one for myself. I would like to be buried in the shadow of that giant roller coaster.
Yeah.
There's the thought.
Donald, do you like roller coasters?
I don't mind them. I don't like the... is it the waltzers or the kind of ones that just throw you back and forth. And yeah. Makes
I can't
me feel
do them
sick.
At all now. I can't do them at all. Instant nausea.
My trick for dealing with roller coasters is to pretend I'm flying.
You're so
because that way you kind of dive into the ride rather than kind of resist it.
Mm.
So, yeah. That's my top tip.
But
for
you do that
coasters.
Walking on the street too, don't you? Like,
one arm out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tend to imagine where I'm going to land when the whole thing disintegrates underneath me and what body parts people have to pick up. So, but no, I'm there. And but you're like Mr. Well, it's not Kung Fu, is it? But this is like, you know, Bruce Lee movies.
Well, this is what I'm looking forward to as being a beginner again. Because I got into martial arts when I was 10. And I got to a very high level. I was on the Irish team. I was European and World...
Really?
I was a European and World Silver Medalist in 2005. And travelled all over representing Ireland and fought in, you know, lots of different countries around the world. But all of the striking, like taekwondo, kickboxing, boxing, it's very hard to do when you pass 50 years of age. And, you know, if you've got to a level in a sport and you walk into a club, there's an expectation that, you know, you're still going to be at that level. And the body no longer does what it could do when you're in your 20s or 30s. So what I'm looking forward to is being a beginner again. So I've hung up the black belt and I've taken up the white belt in a different martial art. So I have taken up Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu with Carlson Gracie Ireland. So there's two amazing Brazilian coaches, Henrique Sarajeva and Evandro Fagali. And they are absolute gentlemen, but brilliant at what they do. So, yeah, it's really nice to go from, you know, having been an athlete and a coach in one sport to being a complete novice in another. So,
and but are they dramatically different from each other? Would they have things in common, as in hitting people?
Not really, because in the striking arts, like boxing and kickboxing and taekwondo, you're kicking and punching and you're scoring points or you're scoring a knockout. Whereas in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, it's about, you know, taking somebody down, controlling them, submitting them. So they call it the gentle art. And it's in my view, it's probably the most effective. If I was going to put my kids into martial arts, I'd put them into Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu because it is the only one that delivers on the promise of a smaller, less athletic person being able to control and be safe against a much larger opponent.
Where can I sign up?
You can sign up at any Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu club around the country. But if you live in Maynooth, Kildare, somewhere like that, Carlson Gracie Ireland, these guys are unreal.
And is there like different sorts of Jiu-Jitsu? There's a Brazilian version. Are there versions from other countries as well?
Exactly. So Jiu-Jitsu originated in Japan, obviously. But what happened was in the early part of the 19th century, some Japanese experts went to Brazil and the Gracie family, you know, the famous Gracies of mixed martial arts and of Jiu-Jitsu, they modified the techniques because Helio Gracie was a very small and lean guy. So he modified the Japanese technique so that he was using like leverage to make it more effective for a smaller person to be able to beat a larger opponent. So then Hoist Gracie, back in 1993 when the UFC came out, he was this kind of, you know, fairly slim guy that went in against all these different martial arts and he won the tournament. And he showed that the smaller, well-trained opponent could beat these, you know, much larger sumo wrestlers and boxers and kickboxers, etc. And that's how Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu has now developed all over the world.
So great for women as well.
Yeah,
yes.
It is brilliant.
I once got the nickname Crazy Beats Big, but maybe that's for me because I'm so small.
Crazy Beats Big, I like it.
Well, yeah, if it's convincing crazy, yeah, absolutely.
That could be a DJ name as well.
Yeah. So what are you looking forward to, Amaya?
I'm looking forward to going to Kilkenny.
Yeah.
After Kilkenny this week, I've had a tiny bit of work down there, but extending it into a small little holiday, going to the New Park Hotel, little family hotel with the dinosaur park close by.
Kilkenny is actually a fantastic city.
Is.
I know you're, I mean, you know, there's a temptation to say it's a great town, but I don't mean that in a dismissive sense.
It's a city. And the National Reptile Zoo is there. I don't know if you've ever been. It is absolutely amazing. So we're heading down there this week for a few days.
Yeah.
Can't beat Kilkenny. I haven't been there since 1999 when I went on a stag do and the stag himself missed the entire stag do. And I think that is the best endorsement for Kilkenny.
You make it sound like you were banned. You went, I haven't been since the stag in 99. Yeah. I'm still not allowed back in.
But also you've been learning about e-scooters.
Well, obviously the government are discussing today the possibility of an outright ban. And my gut told me that just seems to be quite severe. So I just started, I didn't know much about e-scooters. I don't have one. My son is way too young for one. They make me very, very nervous.
Mm.
But I just started reading up on the countries that use them the most. And in Europe, that would be the Scandinavian countries, Norway, Sweden. Now, it is very hard to find accident rates, because they're all lumped in with cycle accidents and bike accidents as well. But they seem to have been able to implement stricter laws faster. And when you ban things outright, as we all know, who's the people who adhere to that are the responsible ones. That's the same with all outright bans.
Yeah.
So is that going to, you know, improve this issue? I don't think it is. I mean, no parent should buy an e-scooter for a child under 16. That's like giving them a pack of cigarettes and a nag and a vodka, as far as I'm concerned. Like, it's just, it's always not been allowed. But I feel like an outright ban is not the solution. And I feel like the other countries, we should look to them for the how they implemented the laws and how to implement them a little bit more efficiently, and to give the guards, as we saw with the scrambler bikes, more power instantly to do their job properly.
Yeah. What have they done in other countries?
They just implement laws quicker and more efficiently, and they give their police more power. Whereas here, I mean, it's when you hear about what's happened to the guards who, you know, stop the scrambler bikes and are now up in court themselves. It's absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And I feel like an outright ban is just a bit of a cop-out, because they're not going to disappear off the streets instantly, and certainly not the people who are misusing them now.
Mm.
So I think we just need to get better at bringing in stricter laws.
Yeah.
And empowering our Gardaí.
We don't have enough guards.
No.
We're under-resourced. And that's a lot of the time, you kind of get a sense that legislation is framed with that at the back of their minds, that we could introduce a law, but we can't possibly enforce it anyway. So let's just ban the whole thing.
Yeah.
I think we're very good at making it very difficult for the guards to do their jobs. Like when you go back to the days of the riots and they had to borrow the water cannon from Northern Ireland, and then they figured out that the guards had to be trained to use the water cannon, and then the water had to be at an ambient temperature. They couldn't just use cold water. Did you know that? I didn't know that.
Sparkling.
Evian only water cannons. So,
but we're also not using, I won't say where, but I was involved with a local community project somewhere near where I live. And a guard told me off the record, said, we're actually not using our community police properly. Because actually, with, you know, proper community policing in certain areas can actually help things from escalating, and it's a different level for the guards as well, and they can kind of keep certain things, contained is the wrong word, but just a little bit more control, and then the police have a better relationship with local communities, and they're swapping the community guards over too quickly, so the kids who get to know their community guard don't know the new guy coming in or the new girl coming in. And I just think we can do it better. We need more guards, of course we do, but community policing at a lower level is really important.
Which is what the guards were designed for originally, the civic guard.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Donal and Maya, thank you both very much for coming in today.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.